Kabbalah Rabbosai. So our limud every day is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Eshtav Refuah Shlema B'Sosha Choli Yisroel B'Korov. So we were discussing yesterday about the about Erev Shabbos Chukas being the day that they fixed as the anniversary or the commemoration of the burning of the Talmud in Paris. And actually it wasn't just the Talmud, apparently they went around, we said for 2 years, they went around collecting all the Jewish books that they could find in any shul, any yeshiva, any home, and the emissaries of the Pope, of the Catholic Church, went to seize all the manuscripts that they could find, and the penalty for resisting them was death. They were allowed to kill anybody who tried to prevent them from taking the Sforim, and subsequently they burnt in 1242. They burnt all the Sforim, wagon loads of Sforim in Paris, in front of the Notre Dame, and apparently many, many Kisvei Yad of Rishonim were lost. And in fact, for instance, they say that the Ksav Yad of the Meiri was lost then. He lived in France at that time, and his Ksav Yad was lost. It was burnt at the, what's called, but they found a copy of the Meiri in the 20th century in the Vatican. So it could be that the Roman Catholics, besides burning everything, they maybe took some as well and took it back to Rome. No idea. In any event, so that's what happened then. So some of you mentioned that there was also the burning of the Rambam 100 years earlier. So I just checked it out yesterday, and it goes like this. The Rambam died in 1205. And that was like 37 years before the burning of the Talmud in Paris. And after he died, or maybe already during his life, he had a lot of misnagdim, because the Rambam was a big mechadish. The Rambam was the first one. Shulchan Aruch starts off with Hilchas Hanogas Odom Baboike, about getting up in the morning. It goes straight into the Shulchan Aruch. Whereas the Rambam went into philosophy, he starts off with Sha'arim Mador, with Sefer Mador, with the Fashid and the Halochas. He wrote Sforim, he wrote loads of Sforim, which were philosophical Sforim, which were Hashkofa Sforim, right? The Mori Nevuchim, which created a lot of dispute. Even the Yad HaChazaka, his Halocha Sefer, created a lot of dispute amongst the Rabbonim. Why? Because until then, if you wanted to know a halacha, the only source for looking in halacha before the Rambam, the only source for looking up a halacha to check it out, to see to paskin, the only way of doing that was to learn the Gemara. Therefore, a Rav who had to paskin halachas needed to know the whole of Shas by heart. Now comes along the Rambam and orders all the halachas in under subjects, and it looks a bit like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, so now they said every Tom, Dick and Harry is going to be passing it for himself. Every person is going to pick up the Rambam, and he's going to look up the conclusion of the Rambam and never look at the Gemaras. And there was a lot of debate amongst us. As a result of that, there were some who accused the Rambam of being a koifer. And in particular, I don't know why, but apparently in particular they accused him, maybe because of some things that he wrote, of being a koifer in Tchiyas HaMesim, which is a very, very difficult thing to understand, because one of the 13 animamins, the principles, the Yud Gimel Ikrim, in Yigdal and in the animamin, is Tchiyas HaMesim, and that was composed by the Rambam. So exactly how they did it, exactly what the debate was, and what the motivations were at the time, we don't know. But there were a lot of people who claimed, there were a lot of Jews who claimed that the Rambam was a koifer, and they mustered this to the Dominican monks. And the Dominican monks decided to round up all the copies that were extant in France of the Rambam, and they actually burnt those. They burnt that 10 years before, but 10 years before the burning of the Talmud in 1242. There was a major burning in a square in, not the same square in front of the Notre Dame, but in a big square somewhere in Paris. There was a major burning of the Sforim of the Rambam. It was the Dominican friars who were helping the Yidden along, because they considered at the time that the Rambam was a koifer. Later on, after that, many of the Rabbonim who were misnagets of the Rambam were choizer. It's a story in itself. But that doesn't specifically have to do, obviously, with Erev Shabbos Chukas. It's just to, because it was mentioned yesterday, I thought I'd clarify it, and tomorrow we'll go on to Erev Shabbos Chukas again.
And start your day the Torah way in northwest London. Tuesday, Hey Tammuz, 1st of July, Reina Ravra Gedalia, Lieberman Schlita, Kriya Shema in the car. This is Torah responsible family Frankel, of some of the Binyam and Frankel area, and Fegi Khan, Shatichia. Custom takes place tomorrow in Mitzah Shem, he wants to revise the movie from the Shem Yisloch. Lizbus Hashvim, Va Chayolim, Ba Melchamosh, Achsul Votem, Le Shalom, Bim Heiro.
Hey. Yeah. Okay, good morning. The share I'd like to would like to discuss is Kriya Shema, more specifically when driving. Again, I mean, the share is always not always, but this time of the year, during the share we have the Soyuz Man Kriya Shema. So let's imagine the latest Soyuz Man Kriya Shema. So the question is what to do if you're driving. And Sefer Kriya Shema is coming up, and so obviously you want to say Kriya Shema before the end of the Zman to be going to the Mitzvah Min HaTorah, according to most Shittas. If you miss the Sefer Kriya Shema, you're not going to the Mitzvah Min HaTorah. It is a Shitta of the Kesef Mishnah. It holds you can be going to the Mitzvah later as well, but according to most Shittas, you're not going to the Mitzvah Min HaTorah, and therefore obviously you want to say Shema before the Sefer Zman. Obviously, if you daven early or on time, you don't have this problem, but if for whatever reason you're dabbling later, and so you'd have to say Shema before. So, we'll discuss a couple of things, but I'll get to also driving a car, and I'll point out that I know somebody who I once saw somebody, who what he did was, he parked his car, and he said Shema, the beginning of Shema, the first pasuk of Shema, and Baruch Shem. And then afterwards, continued driving. So really, I want to discuss whether that's right. Don't know why that would have been done. What would be the logic to stop for the first two psukim? That proper kavana, yeah.
Cover your eyes.
Cover your eyes, right? It's not a good idea to cover your eyes when you're driving. Yeah. But the truth is, it's much more than that. I don't know if people are familiar with the halacha that when you're walking. And this happens maybe more often, or you're walking up the street and you're walking to shul, and if you're daven at 9 o'clock and you're walking to shul at maybe let's say on Shabbos, on Shabbos you're daven at 9 o'clock, and you're walking to shul at 8:45, and suddenly you realise, I mean, about 8:50 today is the latest Soyuz Man Kriya Shema. So you want to say Shema? I'm sure. I mean, it's certainly happened to me. I'm sure I'm not. I'm probably not the only one. So the halach is you have to stop for the first pasuk. I don't know if you're familiar with that, and that's what we're going to discuss. So there's a din. If you're walking, you have to stop, say the first pasuk, and then you can continue walking. And then you're allowed to continue walking. So the question is, can you apply that also to a car? You have to stop for the first pasuk, and then you can continue driving. And when I looked into the sugya a little bit, there were literally many tzadim. There was a tzad to say that, which I'm going to share. There was a tzad to say that you could continue driving the whole way. In other words, it's not the same as walking. Perhaps you don't have to stop. There was a tzad to say that you have to stop for the whole Shema.
If you're a driver or a passenger?
Maybe that also makes a difference, yeah. It certainly would make a difference. But I'm discussing maybe first the driver, let's say. There's a tzad to say you'd have to stop for the whole Shema. And there's a tzad to say that this fellow did it correctly, that to say the first pasuk, stop for the first pasuk, and then continue driving. And the maskona, I don't really have a total clarity. I know people ask this year, so Lamaisa, which one? We'll learn the sugya and hopefully get a better understanding of the sugya and hopefully come out with some dinim lemaisa as well. Love dafka total clarity of what the best way, the best thing to do in driving, I could say. The best thing is probably to stop at Shema. But let's try and go in order. It begins with the Gemara. It's in Brochus and Dafka Gimel, the second period, discusses the dinim of Kriya Shema. And the Gemara there says, Omar Ibnosun Bar Mar Ukva, Omar Rabbi Huda, the name of Rabbi Huda, that. It says, when you say the words of Shema, those words, Bamida, you have to stand for those words. So the Gemara says, what, for those words? Says the Gemara, no. You have to say until these words, standing. So Shema, until For that you have to stand. And then the Gemara brings the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan that says, Kol HaParsha Rishayna. The first Parsha from Shema until Uvisharecha has to be Ba'amido, has to be standing. Those are the only two opinions in the Gemara. And the Gemara says, follows Rabbi Yochanan Latayme. Rabbi Yochanan is following his opinion that Rabbi Yochanan Paskins, like Rav Achim Shem Rabbi Yehuda, I think it is, that says that you have to have Kavanah for the whole first Parsha. In the Gemara, in the second period, there's a discussion what you need to have Kavanah for, which part of Kriyashma you need to have Kavanah for. Maybe I should also clarify that generally, when we talk about Kavanah, there's two kinds of Kavanah. There's Kavanah Lotzeis, there's Kavanah intent to fulfill the mitzvah. And that, generally speaking, I mean, it's a sugya in itself. It could be a shir, or two, or three, or five shir for itself. It's a big sugya, mitzvah strix kavanah, with lots of nachaminas. But generally speaking, we paskin, I mean, that's why among the Rambam, these paskins, that a mitzvah deraisa is tzara kavanah. Maybe I'll start. Mechaber paskins that mechal, mitzvah strix kavanah. When you do a mitzvah, you need kavanah, but that means intent to fulfill the mitzvah. And among the Rambam, paskins that certainly mitzvah deraisa is tzara kavanah. And a mitzvah drabbanon doesn't need kavanah. Now we paskin according to all opinions, the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael is deraisa. So therefore, certainly for the first pasuk, you need kavanah, you need intent to fulfill the mitzvah. But then there's a second kind of kavanah, which is kavanah se'inyan, not kavanah as in intent to be yotzer, but kavanah as in paying attention to what you're saying, and specifically by Shema. You'll be mekabel ol malchus shemayim. You're accepting upon yourself the yoke of heaven. So kavanah means to be mechaven that kavanah. That's the way the Rashba explains this Gemara, and that's the way it's accepted. The Beis Yosef quotes that Rashba, and that's the way the Poskim understand the Gemara halacha. The discussion in the Gemara, which part of Shema needs kavanah, means which part of Shema needs kavanah se'inyan. Which part of Shema do you need to think about the words that you're saying? So in the Gemara, there's an opinion that there's opinion the first parasha needs kavanah, the second parasha needs kavanah. There's a number of different opinions, Machlokes Rabbi Elazar Rekiva, and then other shittas. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that the first parasha needs kavanah, the Shema until Uvisharecho, even b'dieved. In other words, if you didn't have kavanah for the whole first parasha, you're not yoyed to the mitzvah of Shema. And says the Gemara, that which Rabbi Yochanan says you have to stand for to the first parasha is because he holds that the first parasha needs kavanah. I'll also clarify that the Gemara says standing, it's not clear. Does that mean standing rather than sitting? So Rashi and Tosfos both explain, and based on Yerushalmi, that we don't mean standing as in if you're sitting down, you should stand up. When we say standing, we mean when you're walking, you should stop walking. Ah. Yeah, and that's what it means by Mida. Otherwise, we all know it's Chloikos B'Shamem B'Shillel, whether you have to stand for Kriyat Shema in the morning or not, and Beis Hillel are very strong. You can say it however you want. So yeah, Beis Hillel hold you say Shema however you want. But if you're walking, you should stop. So again, in the Gemara, there's two opinions. Let me just summarize. In the Gemara, essentially speaking, if you're walking to Shul on Shabbos morning and it's 8:45, and suddenly you realize you haven't yet said you haven't yet read Shema. And the latest man for Sefer Kriyat Shema is in 5 minutes. So you have to say it while you're walking to shul. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara if you have to stop till the words Alav Avecha, or you have to stop for the whole first parasha. That's the two shittas. However, comes the Rif and says that the halacha is not like Reb Nosson and also not like Rabbi Yochanan. Because the Gemara explains that the reason each one says what he says is because that's the part that needs kavanah. Now we paskin in the Gemara, there's a Gemara earlier that has a number of opinions, like I say, where the first parasha needs kavanah, the second parasha needs kavanah, and the end of the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanon, Shema Yisrael, Shem Lekein, Shem Echad, Ad Kant, Tzuchi Kavanah Saleiv. The Rameah says only the first pasuk needs kavanah, and Amarava, Halach Rameah. Rava, who's the Basra, Paskin's Arimea, so that's the halacha, says the Rif. Since we Paskin only the first Pasuk needs Kavanah, as I'm sure everyone's aware, we're all aware that the first Pasuk we have to pay extra, be extra careful to have Kavanah, to say it with Kavanah Saleiv, and if not, you have to go over it, it's Ma'akov, if not, you'd have to repeat it. So therefore, says the Rif, also, when it comes to standing, if you're walking, only the first posuk you have to stand. Okay? So, again, I'm walking to shul, I stop for the first posuk, that's what the Rif says, The Rosh then brings another shitta, that the shitta of the Raivad, that explains the reason to stand differently, and that is there's a Gemara in Yuma that says that when you're reading Shema, lo yirmes be'einov, lo yikris v'svasov, v'loyarabetz boisov, when you're reading Shema, you're not allowed to make any simon. You're not allowed to do things while you're reading Shema. Yeah. In fact, the Gemara has an interesting story. There's a Mishnah in Yuma that says that the Kohen Gadol on the night before the night of Yom Kippur would learn Torah the whole night, and if he was a chacham. If he wasn't a chacham, so then Kohen Lefonov. So they would read in front of him a psukim from Torah, and the Mishnah says Omer Zchayer ben Kvutel. Zchayer ben Kvutel says I read before the Kohen Gadol many times in Daniel. So the Gemara has a story that one of the Meroim said to Rav Chia, the son of Rav. He said the Mishnah, and he said Zechariah ben Kfutel with a pei, but not with a base. So Rav was there. The Gemara explains Rav was reading Kriya Shema, so he couldn't correct him because he was reading Kriya Shema. So he, with his finger, he showed that it's a base and not a pei. Then he's like, the simon he made. But somebody made a simon that is a base and not a pei. So the Gemara says, in the middle of Kriya Shema, you're not allowed to be a marabet vaysav. You're not allowed to do anything. So the Gemara says, it depends, the first parasha or the second parasha. Let's talk about Shulchan Aruch. The first parasha, you're not allowed to be marabet boysov, you're not allowed to make any simonim with your hands. And the second parasha, you are allowed to. Some poiskim hold, that's only if it's Torah mitzvah k'sas, only if there's like a bit of a mitzvah involved, like correcting somebody on a Mishnah, or a different kind of important thing, but not stam, according to some poiskim. But either way, so there is a din that you're not allowed to be marabet. What's the reason for this din? This is not because it's going to disturb your kavanah. You know how I know? Let me ask you a question. When we say you're not allowed to be meramas, does it mean while you're saying the words, or even if you pause? Can I pause in the middle of Shema V'chol? Can I pause and then make a simon with my hand and then continue? Are you allowed to? Huh? So there's an interesting riot that one of the Achrayim brings that definitely not. Definitely not. Because one of the things that the Gemara says you can't do, lo yimris be'enov, lo yikris be'svasov, you can't make a simon with your lips. If you're making a simon with your lips, you're probably not in the middle of saying the words, right? I mean, at least I can't do that. It's very hard to say the words of Shema and at the same time make a simon with your lips. So clearly you're pausing and then making a simon. So even if you pause, you can't. So that doesn't disturb kavanah. You can pause and then make a simon. So why are you not allowed to? So the reason is a different reason. It's not because of kavanah. It's shelo yehek kriyas arai. That you want to show seriousness when you're reading Shema, take the mitzvah seriously. You know, something that you do generally in life, if you have something very, very important, so you put everything else aside, you stop and you do the thing that's important. If you're doing things while you're cleaning up the Sforim, usually it means that it's not so important, you're not taking it so seriously. So if while you say Shema, you're also making simonim, making hand signs or eye signs to people about other things, it means you're not taking it overly seriously. So that's a separate din in the Gemara and Yuma, that Shelo Yehi Kriyas Arai, it's not allowed to be, the reading of Shema has to be serious. So the Raivad learns that the reason why you have to stop is to show seriousness. And therefore he paskens that it is until the words Alav Avecha. Why not the whole parasha? Since in the parasha we say afterwards, Lech Chabaderech, so you have to be able to walk by Lech Chabaderech, says the Raivad. So either way, that's the way the Raivad explains why you're not allowed to. Why you're not allowed to walk during the beginning of Kriya Shema, and therefore according to the Raivad it does extend till Alav Avecha. However, the Rif, like I said, and the Rambam also learn that the reason is, like the simple understanding of the Gemara, because of Kavona, because of, in order to be able to have intention, and therefore it's only for the first Pasuk. Since we pass it, only the first Pasuk needs intention, so stopping is also only for the first Pasuk. So therefore, since that's the riff in the Rambam, as the Beis Yosef sums up the sugya, he says that's the riff. That's the Rambam, and then Shulchan Aruch and Simon Samach Gimel. That's the psak of the Mechaber that when you're walking, you have to stop for the first posuk, just the first posuk. And that's now. What about Baruch Shem? Baruch Shem. I mean, it's not the first posuk, but it's not the second posuk either. It's an insert into Kriya Shema, right? Kriya Shema obviously continues Shem Echad V'ahavt Hashem Elokecha. Baruch Shem is an insert. What about Baruch Shem? So The Eli Rabbah does bring him a chalukas of Shoinim, actually, where the Baruch Shem is included. The logic would be like this. On the one hand, we pass in the Baruch Shem also needs kavana. So therefore, you also have to stop. On the other hand, it's certainly not as chomor, it's not as severe as the first pasuk. There's a machlokes to what extent it's ma'akov. But either way, it's only drabonon. It's not as chomor as the first pasuk. The Eli Rabbah actually brings that the Tashbates, one of the Rishonim, holds that for Baruch Shem, you'd have to stop as well. On the other hand, the Rekeach, which is an early Rishon, says clearly that Baruch Shem and V'ahavto, you could be walking already. So we have Machlokes to Shoinim, what's with Baruch Shem? The Aruch HaShulchan writes, obviously Baruch Shem, you have to stop as well. Mishnah Berurah seems to write that as well, but it's not crystal clear. From other poskim, it looks to me that Baruch Shem, one could continue to walk. L'maisa, it's Machlokes, and therefore it's not such a big deal. I think generally, it's not such a big deal to stop until after Baruch Shem. So Lamaisa one would stop till after Baruch Shem, then we have to, you can continue to walk. Okay, so the question is, how to apply this to a car? To driving, right? If I'm on a Shabbos story, so I'm walking to shul, I stop until Baruch Shem, I have kavana, and then I continue to walk. Well, straightforward, but I have to, continue to walk. I mean, to be honest, it happens to me quite often. Like I say, the timing just ends up like that often. And to be honest, I even prefer to do it on my way to shul rather than doing it at home, because at home I have children around me, and then sometimes you bump into the other shaylas or loyimers, it's difficult to say Kriya Shema, and then somebody needs something, so it's easier for me on the way. Even though, you know, otherwise the poskim do say better to do it not while you're walking on the way, when you're sitting there down like a mensch with proper kavana, the whole thing. It's not a mitzvah to walk during Kriya Shema, right? But because it takes away from kavana. However, in my setting, often that's the best way, walking to shul. But I always feel like, so, you know, somebody skips, you know, when you're walking to shul, there's other people walking to shul, and it looks very strange. You, like, suddenly stop on the way, and then continue. But all right, but that's the. If anyone asks you what are you doing, then you have an opportunity to explain another halacha. But you can't explain it until you finish Kriya Shema also, so it's also complicated. All right, yeah. Anyway, the shaila is what about driving? So the truth is that we have what to draw on, in other words, to begin the tzaddim. I don't know, what would you say, based on the walking, what would you say about if you're driving a car? Is it the same as walking? Not the same as walking, what's the... Walking is better than driving. So driving takes away concentration more. It's, yeah, that seems to be the consensus, okay.
That's
yeah.
So, passenger, if you're on a train or an airplane.
Right, then it should be okay, Lahori, yeah? Okay, so the truth is that this, it begins with, the olden days they obviously didn't drive cars, but they did ride donkeys, horses, and they also rode in a wagon, and therefore the poskim do discuss it, and it's a very interesting discussion, and I'll try and share it, bekitzer, in the time we have, and then try and apply it to the car. Quite a major machlokes over here. It begins, the Bach, quotes the Loshna Rambam, and the Rambam, when he says it's halacha, says aholich baraglov. It's not in the Gemara. Usually the Rambam simply takes the halachas out of the Gemara. Just heard before, the priest share a little bit about the way the Rambam takes out the halachas from the Gemara, without, you know, missing out the explanations and the background and the development of the halacha, but just telling you the bottom line. And usually the Rambam literally, you know, more or less takes the words out of the Gemara. Over here he adds the words, aholich baraglov, when you walk with your feet. Comes the Bach and his Madaik in those words, and says aholich baraglov, and not if you're riding on a donkey or in a agola, in a wagon, then you are allowed to say Kriya Shema. That is the shitta of the Bach. Based on the Rambam, you're allowed to read Kriya Shema while you're riding a donkey. However, the Taz argues, and the Taz says, no, we have a Gemara, Rochav Kamahalich. He says the diuk in the Rambam is not a good diuk, it's not a strong enough diuk. So we can ignore that diuk. The Shulchan Aruch actually, even though the Shulchan Aruch 80% of the time, or perhaps even more than 80% of the time, quotes the Lashon Rambam. The way the Shulchan Aruch wrote the Sefer is the wording of it, even when the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like the Rambam, he still takes the words from the Rambam and then just, you know, slightly amends them. Generally, the Shulchan Aruch generally takes the Lashon of how to formulate the psat, the halacha, from the Rambam. Over here, he takes out the word baraglov. Seemingly, and the poets can point out, in order to make to clarify that that it's not only baraglov. It can also be when you're riding a donkey that you have to stop. The Taz brings a Gemara in Kedushin, where the Gemara discusses whether Rochav Kamahalik Domi or not. When you're riding a donkey, is that like you're walking or not? The Gemara there is discussing, first of all, the Shiloh of standing up in front of Talmud Chacham. If a Talmud Chacham walks by, so there's a din of Kibbutz Rabbo, Kibbutz Talmud Chachamim, so there's a din you have to stand up. So what about if the Talmud Chacham is riding by on a donkey, whether you have to stand up or not. So that's the Sophia Gemara Rochav Kamahalach. And the Gemara's Maskana is Rochav Kamahalach Domi. That riding a donkey, even though the Talmud Chacham is technically sitting down, but since the donkey is walking, it's as if the Talmud Chacham is walking. So Rochav Kamahalach Domi, it is as if he's walking. Says the Taz, if so, the same din is going to apply over here. That when you're riding a donkey, it's like you're walking, and you'd have to stop in order to read the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. The wording of the Taz is a little unclear, because he begins, as the Achronim point out, he begins with saying that it's because the Rochav Kamahalach, and then he says it's because you're busy riding the donkey, so you can't concentrate. So is it because, like the Halacha, the riding of the donkey is considered like you're walking? Or is it because you're busy riding the donkey, and that's the part that's considered you're walking? Isn't crystal clear, and I'll share with you a way to learn the Taz in a moment. Lemaisi says, therefore, if you're in a wagon, so you could read Shema, even the first pasuk, while you're riding. And again, it's not crystal clear what the Taz means. Does the Taz mean even if you're on the wagon riding the horse, or you're on the wagon as a passenger? Yeah, not crystal clear. The wording of the Taz is a little bit bumpy, as the Taz sometimes is. And the Prima Godim discusses, and he discusses this issue in the wording of the Taz. He says that the mice of the Pshat of the Taz is as follows. According to Taz, if you're riding the donkey, then you cannot reach Ma, the first Pasuk, because you're busy, you're preoccupied. If you're a passenger on the back of the donkey, then you're okay. Even though halachically, it's like you're walking. If you were Talmud Chacham on the back of the donkey, the din would be that you are walking, and you would have to stand up. Nevertheless, the way the Prima Godim understands Pshat in the Taz is not like that. Rather, it all depends, are you riding or not? If you're on the wagon, if you're sitting a passenger on the wagon, you could say Shema. If you're driving the wagon, by driving the horses or the donkey, whatever it is that's pulling the wagon, so then you cannot say Shema. So all depends, are you passive or active? On the other hand, the Prima Godim brings Tshuva Space Yaakov, which is a contemporary of the Taz, one of the great poskim of the time, that wrote, that interacted with the Taz and others. It's brought also in the Shari Tshuva. The Eli Rab also brings it. That he says, no, it all depends, are you on the donkey or on the wagon? It's based on a Gemara. Rochav Kamahalich or not Rochav Kamahalich. When you're on a donkey, it's considered you're walking. And when you're in a wagon, it's considered that you are sitting. So therefore, it doesn't matter if you're riding the donkey or not. It matters, are you sitting on the donkey, on the back of the donkey, in which case when the donkey's moving, it's like you're moving, or are you sitting on the wagon? Yeah, that's the psak of the... A little bit, I think, the svaras of Achloikas is, when you're walking, you're doing two things. You're moving your feet, and your feet are moving you. Right? So which part of it is the reason you can't read the first part of your Shema? We say when you're walking, you can't concentrate the same way as when you're standing. Right? Because what? Because you're moving your feet, or because your feet are moving you? In other words, there's a part which is... There's the element that you're doing something when you're walking. You're not just passive. You're active. You're walking. You're moving your feet. You're doing something. Is that the reason? Or is it because... When you're walking, you're not still. Your feet are moving you. There's movement. If it's because you're moving your feet, then what? Huh?
Moving the feet is automatically you're not thinking.
It's almost subconscious. But nevertheless, when you're doing things, it's not the same as when you're doing nothing. And this is the machlokes over here. If you think about it, you'll realize that the Taz learns the way the Prima Godim learns the Taz. That the question is, are you doing something? Are you driving? Or you're just sitting passive. The Beis Yaakov learns the other way. If you're sitting on the donkey, it's like you're moving. Well, you're not moving as in you're not doing anything, you're just sitting. The donkey is moving. He says, even if you're a passenger on the donkey, you're not doing anything, but you're moving. So is it the movement which is the problem? Is it the fact that your feet are moving you which is the problem? Or is the fact that you're moving your feet, you're telling your feet to move, your brain is sending messages to your feet to move? Or is it the fact that your feet are moving your body? Yeah, that seems to be the stodim over here. And the maisa we have a machloikas, which will be a machloikas whether driving the car, you have to stop or not. If you say the issue is because you're busy, you know, when you're in the wagon, if you're riding the wagon, you're driving the wagon, according to the Taz, what's it in? According to Taz, you're busy, and therefore you're occupied, you're not passive, you're active, and therefore you cannot say the first pasuk of Shema, and therefore the same din would be if you're driving a car. According to the Beis Yaakov, I don't care. When you're sitting in a car, you're sitting down. There's no rochav kamahalich. There's no din, it's as if your feet are moving you. You're not, you know, you don't have that movement. You're just sitting still. The wheels are rolling, but you're sitting still. So that's what he says about a wagon. And the same would be when you're driving a car. So according to the Taz, the din would be that. According to Beis Yaakov, the din would be that even when you're driving, you're able to continue, you're able to say the first pasuk, even while you're driving, which might sometimes be relevant. Of course, you have a problem covering your eyes, but covering your eyes is not me'ikra din. Whereas, according to most poskim, stopping for the first pasuk is clear din of the Gemara. So it's much more chomor. This din of stopping for the first pasuk is more chomor than covering your eyes. So therefore, you know, we could still discuss, do you have to stop, even if anyway you can't? Obviously, the better thing to do would be to stop in order to cover your eyes. Now, Lamaisa, the Prima Gordon says, you know what? I think you've got to take on both chomros. If you're in the wagon and you're driving, so then
you also
have to stop because you're busy. If you're on a donkey, even if you're not driving, you also can't read the first pasuk because you're moving. Both chumras. In other words, walking has in it two elements. There's the fact that you're moving your feet and the fact that your feet are moving you. So both of them. On the other hand, the Loshon HaShulchan Aruch Rav is mashma very much, and perhaps also the Mishnah Berurah, that you take on both kulos. In other words, when you're walking, you have both issues, and that's when you can't see the first pasuk of Shema. We cannot extrapolate from the Gemara, from the din of the Gemara, any further than the Gemara itself said. The Gemara spoke about walking, which has in it two elements. Both you're doing something, which is walking, and there's movement, because you're walking. So if so, when you're riding, driving the donkey, I'm using the word, when you're actively riding the donkey, so then you have both issues. You're rock of Kamahalik, the Gemara says, considered you're walking, and at the same time, you're actively riding it. And therefore, it's a problem. On the other hand, if you're sitting on the donkey or you're riding the wagon, so then the day would be you're okay. So really, we have four ways to learn this question of what the din of driving would be, four different mahalchim, and then Akamina would be whether driving a car is a problem, is the problem.
According to the Prima Gordim, you couldn't read Kriya Shema in a plane or on a train.
No, if you're a passenger on the wagon, then you're okay even according to the Prima Gordim, because then you have both advantages. According to the Prima Gordim, any issue is a problem. So if you're walking or on a donkey, then it's a problem, a passenger. But if you're a passenger on the plane, you're okay. Because you're both not actively doing anything, and there's no Rokha Kumhalik. Because Rokha Kumhalik is only on the donkey and not on the wagon, the Gabbadi's in it. Because...
Why? What's that mean?
No, because the idea of the Rokha Kumhalik is that when the feet of the donkey move, it's as if you're moving. You don't say that the wheels, which is as if you're just sitting and wheels are rolling. You can't look at the wheels like your feet. You can look at the donkey's feet like your feet. Yeah, that's in other words, I guess you have the bumpiness and the thing. Yeah, there is more room to be done, but the clock doesn't allow us. I'll just point out there is another tzad to the whole thing, which is a little bit like the way people were thinking at the beginning. There is a tzad to say that the whole thing, even if you paskin like the Bach, that you're allowed to actually ride the donkey and actually actively ride the donkey, because only walking is a problem. There is a time to say that driving the car is a problem anyway, for a different reason. Not because of the problem of walking, but because of the problem of you're not allowed to do things during Kriya Shema. In other words, if you're not allowed to make a coffee during the first parasha of Kriya Shema, not just the first pasuk, the whole first parasha you're not allowed to make a coffee. So why is he allowed to walk? So evidently the answer is that walking is considered subconscious, whereas making a coffee is conscious. So in other words, doing a conscious act, that is a greater issue. That's not the issue of halicha, which is just a disturbing kavana. When you do something conscious, that's the issue of arai, which is you're not taking it seriously. Which there, the din is the whole parasha, like we mentioned before. Lo yirmez be'enov, you're not allowed to make a sign with your eyes. Why is that different than walking? Because that's more conscious. That's not subconscious. So Mela, the whole discussion of is driving like walking is only if we assume that driving is considered subconscious like walking. And it is to some extent. Everyone knows that when you drive, you can do other things, yeah? But on the other hand, it's to some extent, but it's not to another extent. You shouldn't look at your phone when you drive, right? Yeah? You're disagreeing. You drive, you have to concentrate on the road. Huh? That's what you're saying, yeah. Driving takes a lot of concentration. So it's not like walking. It's more like doing something during Kriya Shema. So therefore, forget this whole sugya of halicha. There is a tzad to say that driving is out of the question, not just for the first pasuk, but for the whole first parasha. Because it creates an arai. I'm afraid we're going to have to stop. And if people want to know the maskana, maskana is better to say Kriya Shema without when you're not driving. That's for sure. You avoid all the shyness. I hope you learned something. Yeah, then you would say Kriya Shema. Obviously, if you can't stop, so then you would say Kriya Shema while you're driving. Because even if it's arai, still you eat it with the ever, then obviously that's more important than the not.
Same as for
that's right.
I don't know what I said.
Yeah, it's right. On the side of the road.
where you're going.
Not the same way as other things. Yeah? No. Not the same way as almost anything else.
No, if you work through the job with the
yeah, so that's the idea here. That's why it's more cow.
I mean, you've got to think. You've got to
concentrate.
I mean, you know, I'm putting all the so saying you push them out there, I understand it's very difficult because I'm
go on. But you just drop. Yeah.
Okay, well, some walking. Sorry, some riding. Which
is sitting on the donkey.
Especially you're sitting on the donkey. Why?
Well, if you're a passenger.
If you're a passenger.
Right. So that's the question.
You don't fall asleep in the second place. And pain, by the way. Well, you don't fall asleep in
the second place. You're learning, you're right. The way
that you are. Like Phyllis Yeah. It's the same thing when you're driving, you're supposed to stop
it's
the car.
It's connected, you can tie the two things together, yeah. That's right, the Gemara says that
the other car. The Gemara stand as opposed to sitting?
For Trinidad? I don't remember, I only remember the Gemara says pull over. The Gemara says that even my wagon to stop, the edge of the rack. I'll say the stand, I have to check, I don't remember.
Since you're driving, and you can say while you're driving.
Yeah, but on my side, if you can't, then you're allowed to say anyway. The Gemara's clear over there, but you can say while you're driving.
On trainer, do you have to stand as
opposed to that? I don't think so. I don't think if you're anyway driving, it wouldn't make sense to stand up. You have less concentration when you're standing.
No, get out the car and stand.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you can get out of the car, that's good. But if not, then you sit. Yeah. You understand?
Yeah. Driving.